G'day, g'day everybody. Welcome to episode 70 of the Teacher Emilio podcast. I am really happy to have you here. This episode will be a bit different from what we normally have. However, this topic did come up a fair bit recently. And to be honest with you, I had it on top of my head and a part of me thought it would be nice to share it with the world, to put it out here in the podcast. It may help someone, and I mean, if it does help a person, or well, I mean, many of you, that would be fantastic. And I hope that you read the title. If you haven't, When Facing Failure, Kill the Dragon. That will make a bit more sense in just a bit. And by putting that title, I'm also sharing a bit about myself, because I just recently killed the dragon. So I had a bit of a breakthrough moment, and I thought it would be cool to share it in the podcast. And well, not everything is, let's say, sunshine and rainbow, as Rocky said in, I think it was Rocky 6. And sometimes, you know, bad thing happens to us. And one example of that could be, for example, in my case as a teacher, when a student doesn't pass the test or when they don't pass a course. And dealing with failure, it is definitely tricky and it is a challenging bit, and we sometimes all go through failure in different shapes and forms. Obviously, failure, you know, could, I think we could all put a different name to failure. Maybe what is failing for me may not be failing for you, and vice versa. Let me start by putting myself as an example. Just recently, I experienced a bit of failure in the sense of passing exams, because maybe you, if you've been following the podcast, you know that I am a NATI translator. Unfortunately, when I sat the NATI test the day after I came back to Australia, unfortunately, I did not pass that exam. And to be very honest with you, it reminds me of when I talk to students that do not pass IELTS or PTE, or people that maybe just contact me for the first time and they describe their experience sitting the test. Mine was a bit similar in the sense that I wasn't feeling 100%. Obviously, I did my best to practice. I was in the middle of a trip, so I couldn't, let's say, practice as much as I normally would. But even still, I was practicing, I had a teacher online and everything, and it did help, of course. But it's probably not the most optimal way to practice, and that's something that obviously, you know, came up with the results. But more than that, it was the fact that I don't know, maybe the topic was a bit tricky, and I just wasn't feeling that good. And I suppose that it comes back to the topic, what I just said, that maybe I did practice, but I could have practiced a bit more. I mean, I have been thinking about this for quite some time, and it is hard to just pinpoint one thing, because the other problem with that exam is that unlike IELTS or PTE, if you make a few mistakes, you could still get a good score, or you could get away with making mistakes and you get your score. The point I'm trying to make is that it is a difficult test. And how do you deal with failure, or what could you do? That is part of what I thought of sharing today with you. Because, you know, it really hit me. It hit me hard. I was planning, or I had a few things planned for the upcoming months, and I was expecting to pass that test. So it really hit me in a different way, in the sense that, no, it's not like I did not pass IELTS or PTE. And I have been, I don't know, taking that exam for many, many times, or that I invested money in a course or whatever it may be, because that's some of the things that happen to me when students reach out. But it did hit me because, again, it's one of those things that not only you want to have as a personal goal, but that I thought, oh yeah, look, I got this. It wasn't like, oh, I feel like, because I've had students, and I think we all know, there are certain times when we face a challenge and we know, oh yeah, no, there is no way I'm gonna not pass. There is no way I'm gonna, let's say, fail. And then we fail and, oh my God, it hits really hard. So a part of me thought, look, if anything, maybe I'm not gonna pass with full marks, but maybe I can, let's say, be an okay, it could be an okay pass or a just pass, but not a fail. It ended up being a fail, which is not that good. And it, like I said, by not being 100%, I had to, let's say, regain focus. And in that process, I thought, ooh, this could probably be a good podcast episode. And also it's a bit of an announcement because you will not see as many ads of me advertising myself as a translator. Obviously, I am a translator. The problem is, or not the problem, but the challenging thing is that most people need translations to come to Australia, to enter Australia, not much so to leave. But of course, if you know anyone that would like to go to your home country, it could be, I don't know, basically anywhere in Spain or from Mexico all the way down to Argentina, except Brazil and some of the islands in the Caribbean. Obviously, I could help with that. And well, with that said, I will tell you, or I want to share with you, some of the things that I did, and then I'll explain a bit about killing the dragon, because it is a bit of a side achievement that I thought of telling you all. And the first thing, I suppose, the first thing that I did was, knowing that I failed, was to have that mix of reaching out for help, but also pondering. Pondering is another word for saying thinking deeply, analyzing, and then just basically digesting what happened. And then from doing that, not only I gained a bit more insights, but I also started to think of different ways to, let's say, organize myself and to obviously ultimately get to achieve the goal, which in this case is passing the test. I think the cool thing about the tips I'm about to share, obviously, you know, I'm not a mental health expert. I'm not, let's say that's not my expertise. But I mean, in terms of passing exams or maybe other goals you may have, I do feel like this could be helping some of you. So the biggest thing I would say is, or one thing that I did try to do was not to make any decision in a rush. Because when you are in that, let's say, unstable status, then it is tricky because you don't want to do something or like act, let's say, just from impulse or just from being angry or from being sad or frustrated, right? So I was really taking my time when it comes to pondering, to analyzing, to thinking about what the next steps would be and how to achieve them. And also, of course, reaching out, getting some help, or let's say just getting someone to either listen to you or to talk to you about this. And I think that part of the tricky thing is that sometimes for you, it could be a big thing, but not so much for other people. And I feel that a part of me had a bit of that experience where I would share that with some people and they would be like, "Ah, but no worries, mate, it's just a test. Like, you just do it again. I mean, who cares?" I mean, to be honest, no one said who cares, but it's almost as if that's the impression, right? And a part of me, again, thought of, I started remembering my students, because maybe when students are under pressure to pass IELTS or PT, most people, well, maybe not immigrants, but at least Aussies or maybe people in their circle, they may be like, "Oh man, just don't worry. It's, you know, it's just an English test. Your English is fine." It's like, well, yes, but it's not that fine because I didn't have passed this stupid test and I needed to stay in Australia type of pressure. So it's a lot of pressure. So yeah, definitely breaking down what happened, trying to get that support in whatever shape or form it may be. And actually, then I suppose the next step is to look for areas of improvement, because there has to be something that we can do. And as much as I hate to say this, I mean, clearly there was something wrong in my response, right? When I attempted this exam. So there is always something that we could do to improve. Even if we are super prepared, well, technically speaking, if you are ultra prepared, you could get full marks, but that is quite unlikely. You could still get a super good result, right? With, I suppose, IELTS, PT, or basically any test. But it's getting 100 out of 100 and not having anywhere to improve. It's a rare case. I mean, I suppose we all have or may get that, let's say, satisfaction, but in most cases, I think it's fair to say that there's going to be something to improve. So that's what I was doing, reflecting and being very critical and again, getting assistance, in this case from another teacher, to basically find out areas of improvement, things to do, how to polish my skills so that, you know, the next time it's not, let's say, as the one that just recently happened. Then, of course, the next step, at least from what I've got here, has to be doubling up on the practice. So practice, practice, practice. And obviously that mix of practice and feedback would be fantastic. I think this is probably why working with someone helps, because you not only stay accountable, you get feedback, and sometimes it is good to have personalized feedback. So I have been doing that, and I mean, that's probably my next step. And the last one has been, well, actually I've got two more. So the last one is give yourself time. This is something so, so tricky, because as I am thinking, or as I am, you know, recording this, I still remember when my teacher told me, oh, Emilio, but why don't you just wait maybe like 6 months and then you take the test again? And I was like, bro, 6 months, are you crazy? 6 months is so much time. I want to go and do the test next month. But just the same way I talk to students and I say, maybe you should give some time, you should give yourself some time. This teacher told me almost like the same thing. It was so strange, because having that conversation was almost as if I was talking to me, if that makes sense, or listening to what I would tell other people. So trust me, guys, when I tell you in class, or when we are talking about life or exams, and I tell you that I feel you, I mean it. And this episode is living proof of that. So I thought, okay, look, I really don't want to, but sometimes it may be better to just wait a bit longer rather than rushing in and then not performing as well as we would expect to, or as well as we want to. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to give myself a bit of time. Luckily, in this situation, I can give myself time. I was also thinking, and I remembered when I had to pass my PT test to get PR, right? And that was obviously a stressful time. And it is funny, because it's almost as if that memory is always there with me, because as I said earlier, when I help students, some people get, let's say, into this, not trap, but they just don't have much time. So it is definitely, I mean, it is a luxury, I suppose, to say that, oh yeah, you are given the chance or the opportunity to, you know, to polish your skills and get ready. Because the reality is that some people out there, I mean, I don't want to say any horror stories, but for any one of you that is an immigrant that is thinking to come to Australia, or maybe you already have your PR, imagine this. You have a month, 28 days, 30 days, and in those 30 days you have to pass your IELTS test or your PT test, or you need to apply for a new visa. Imagine how stressful that is. On top of that, you probably have a full-time work. And on top of that, you've got family overseas. Maybe you have, well, not maybe, most likely you're going to have life in Australia. It could be, you know, you could have a partner, you could have a pet, you could even have a kid. And, well, I mean, the list can continue, and I think by now you're already feeling the stress. Because if you do not pass that exam in that time frame, in that month, you have probably a few options. Option one is you extend your visa in some way, which is quite tricky now, because now we don't have the COVID visa anymore. Well, sorry, let me take that back. I think the COVID visa is still available, or like still there, but up until February next year. So your options may be running out. Maybe your options are either studying a master's degree or studying something higher from your previous studies, or maybe leaving. And I still remember that I was in a bit of a tricky situation, where for me it was passing the exam or back into study. And going back into study sometimes may not be the most feasible option, because, you know, studies in Australia are expensive. Just recently, the Australian government increased the financial requirement when people apply for visas. So from memory, I think you need to prove that you have $24,000 equivalent, right, of your home currency before you come to Australia, so that you can prove that you can pay your living expenses and this and that. So it is pricey. And I haven't even talked about the cost of the universities and all the expenses that come around studying. So it's not cheap, right? And again, I think about all that, and it's like, wow, for some students or for some people, it's not possible. Or technically, it could be possible, right? I suppose that any person could take a loan, but it's just something that you don't want to do. And then, well, that I remember when that happened to me, I had about, well, when I passed my PTE, that would have been around November, middle of November, and my visa expired on March, or like was going to expire on March. So technically, I had November to December, December to January, January to February, about 4 months, 3.5 months, if you wish. And I was crazy stressed. I remember every time I did not pass the test, I almost felt as if my visa was going to expire the next month type of thing. So I always wanted to do the exam in a rush for obvious reasons. Also, you can, you know, focus on work, other things. But then the whole point I'm trying to say is that sometimes we may not have that luxury of giving ourselves as much time as we wish. And what I always tell students, give yourself a bit of time if the worst thing happens when it comes to IELTS and PTE. You don't want to be in that position where, like I just said, you have a month and you need to do the test once a week. That it's easily, you know, it's getting close to $200. That's like almost $1,700. And any other costs that you are incurring from taking the test. Maybe you're taking days off work or I don't know. But it's just crazy, crazy expensive. And it's not just expensive, it's just way too much pressure that it's just not productive. And then once you give yourself a bit of time, if possible, I think the key thing here is that once you've given yourself time, you polish your skills, then you have to go ahead and, yep, you guessed it correctly. You have to go and kill the dragon. Now I can finally touch up on that. What I mean by kill the dragon, it's basically to go and conquer, to go and achieve that goal that you have. In this case, you know, as I said, I've been talking mainly about exams. I think that, you know, if you get very creative, you can apply this to almost any goal. And the reason I say kill the dragon is just because I've been playing a game recently. It's probably by far my favorite game in consoles or video games. And it's called Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. If you have a Nintendo Switch, you may be smiling. And if you're not, it's because you don't have Zelda and your homework is to buy that game because it is unreal. Anyways, the story of the game, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but the story of this game is that you basically walk around, you get weapons, you start being super strong, you lose all your powers and all your, let's say, weapons, all your energy. And you start from the very beginning. And then slowly, slowly, you start becoming more and more powerful, or you become stronger. Then you start killing stronger creatures. You reach, let's say, a level where you start collecting weapons. You learn how to cook and some other cool stuff. And then you can walk around, right? You can just go around and walk everywhere. So you are always exposed to different types of monsters, or as you go in this world, right, you get to see different monsters. And yeah, you guessed it correctly. There is a monster that is a dragon. And the dragon is so tricky because I still remember when I first saw a dragon, it is crazy. It is like 20 times your size. It is huge. It's like a third of the screen. It's pretty big. And the dragon basically kills you with one hit in, I would say, most of the cases. So I remember when I started to play the game, one time I said, oh, let me check how strong the dragon is. So I was, you know, barely starting. I didn't have, you know, any weapons or anything. So I just went close to the dragon and like the dragon just touched me and boom, dead. So I said, okay, look, there is no way I'm going to kill the dragon now. I'm just going to wait and maybe one day I'll kill the dragon. And, you know, to my surprise, after playing, becoming stronger, getting more weapons and power-ups and things like that, then I saw a dragon and I thought, maybe I can kill the dragon now. Let me go ahead and try. And after a few attempts, the same thing happened. And I thought, okay, now I've got more health. I'm a bit stronger now. Let's see. And to my frustration, the dragon still kills you. Or nearly kills you with one hit. So if the dragon hits you, you basically get to the point where almost like if anything touches you, like a little breeze hits you, boom, you are dead. So you cannot get more than two hits. It is a lot of pressure. And yeah, like I tried after, you know, feeling like I had everything, that I had everything to kill it, and I couldn't kill the dragon. The dragon kept killing me. But then after following some of the steps, I didn't go ahead and, you know, I didn't talk to a teacher about how to kill the dragon. But after, you know, getting a bit of feedback and just checking how other people did it and reading a bit about it, I thought, oh, technically I have what it takes in the game, right, to kill the dragon. So let's see. Let me try again. Let me try these different strategies. And after, well, I wish I could just come up and say that after one attempt I did it, but no, it's not, it wasn't like that. After a few attempts, at least, look, it's hard to say, but I would say, I don't know, somewhere between 7 or 8, I finally killed the dragon in the game. But I think there is a deeper analogy to this, and I'm not gonna get deeper in the topic. This reminds me a bit about Jordan Peterson, because I think he touches on this a fair bit, but it is basically that I feel like the dragon could be whatever challenge you've got close to you. At the very beginning, if you face a challenge, and like I just did at the beginning of the game, maybe you have not much practice, you go and then you will not achieve that thing, but then with a bit of practice, with patience, you will eventually get to the point where you're strong enough to go ahead and kill the dragon. So in this case, the other reason why I wanted to, you know, to tell you all this is because once I basically killed the dragon in the game, I realized, okay, it's almost as if life is a video game. And now a part of me knows what are the things that I need in real life to go ahead and kill the dragon. In this case, the dragon, like I said, could represent anything. I'm focusing more on this exam, but again, you can tailor this to anything, and this really, really reminds me of the Ironman race. I still remember when I said to my coach, hey, how much training do you need for an Ironman? And he was like, are you for real? You haven't done a half Ironman. Most people get injured or barely make it, and you're asking me about the full Ironman. He's like, stay focused, enjoy your half Ironman, and maybe think about the full Ironman, because it is a completely different thing. So, and with the Ironman is the same. I mean, if I look back, I could say that the Ironman was a dragon. When I look at Emilio at the beginning of the pandemic, and Emilio when I, you know, attempted the race and luckily finished it, and the same could be said with other races, especially with Three Peaks. That was a race here in Victoria, which was probably by far the hardest cycling race I've ever had in my life. And then the point I'm trying to make is that whichever challenge we may have at the very beginning, or when we think of doing that thing, it may seem impossible. But as we practice, as we have a plan, as we get support, then slowly, those goals become more feasible. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to go through the bitterness of failure so that we can then get the joy from success or achieving that goal, that thing. Obviously, please use this for something good, right? Don't use this goal for an evil plan to hurt someone. Do it in your, let's say, best interest and in a way that is going to be good for you. So again, like I mentioned just a few seconds ago, this is not intended to be like a Jordan Peterson type of podcast. He's the expert in all that. But if you want to know more about that, I highly recommend you check it out, because I think he talks a bit about the Bible and some other stories where things like this happened. But I think this analogy is so interesting because it applies to so many things. Like when you think of movies like, for example, Hercules, it is a similar principle. Like the guy is the son of a god, and then he needs to prove himself, and he tries to, well, not tries, he finds someone to coach him, and he's training like crazy to then eventually show that he is worthy of being the son of a god. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know what happens. And if you probably do, then that means that I need to think of other examples, because not many people now know Hercules. And again, with that said, I just hope that not only you enjoy this episode, but that you got value out of it. As I said, it has got a bit of a different spin, a different touch. But as always, I enjoyed being part of your day. I enjoyed recording this for you. I hope that you had a good time, that you got value out of this. I wish you all the best in killing your dragon, whatever dragon may be. If it is in a video game like Zelda, good luck, because that's a really tough dragon. But of course, there are other tougher dragons out there. And again, maybe I was part of your day because you went for a walk. Maybe you went running. People listen to me when they exercise. Thank you. Thank you. Or maybe, who knows, you were on your commute or you're driving. Whatever you were doing, I was part of your day and I appreciate it. I'm humbled by that. Episode 70. Again, thank you for your support. And with all that said, I'll see you next week on the next episode. Take care and bye for now. Boom.